from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
What got into you?
That's for the Millers and Amarillo.
Hello to the Millers and Amarillo. Weehaw. We went to
it's
the big
Monday.
You're always excited. We went to the Big Texan when we were out there.
Yeah, we did.
That's a famous place where if you can eat a 72-ounce steak with a baked potato,
you're an idiot. I mean,
you get it free. It's like over $100 worth of meal.
Yeah, when we were there. There was a girl trying to eat it. She was like 80 pounds.
Yeah, I know. And
I think the steak was bigger than she was.
I know. People like that, though, surprise you.
She
probably put it away.
Yeah.
I don't know how or why, but last week we, and really the two previous weeks, we talked to you about dispensationalism, so-called, and administrations in God's plan. We demystified it. We de-theologicized it.
What did you just say?
I don't know. As that was coming out of my mouth, I myself was mystified. We de-theologized it. That's what I want to say.
There you go.
Yeah, we made it. We showed you how practical it is.
It is practical.
And in spite of how simple that was, we are in receipt of a letter that disagrees with everything we said.
And we have no animosity toward this person.
No, we don't.
Absolutely whatsoever. We do have animosity
toward the teaching.
We simply
hate them. We simply hate them.
Exactly. You know what I mean.
We don't have any animosity at all.
You know what? We got to have a little fun on this program.
A little?
All right, so give us
this
a break.
This is serious work. Thank you, folks, for being very gracious with us over these many months we've
yes.
been speaking to you.
Okay.
Yeah, we are imperfect.
Right, what about this letter now?
Newsflash, we're imperfect.
Yeah.
This is Bob in Birmingham.
Bob in Birmingham.
Yep.
All right.
Bob in Birmingham. If
That's
you
why I gave the hee-haw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They don't think they hee-haw in Birmingham.
They don't? Isn't that where the Dukes of Hazzard were? Alabama?
Yeah. I guess they do then.
Yeah, they hee-haw.
They hee-haw down there. Show they hee-haw.
The South. General Lee, one of my heroes. Robert E. Lee was, I enjoyed him.
You enjoyed Robert E. Lee?
Yeah. Did you read about
nice
him?
Guy. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm from the North, so we didn't get much Southern history.
Well, he was from the North too, but he went over to the South.
No, he was. He's a Virginian.
Well, but he had
what
northern
kind of history,
sympathies.
What do you go to public school or something to get your education?
Yes.
No wonder you're so
yes.
dumb. All right, let's continue. Let's talk Birmingham, Alabama here.
All right, where was I?
I have no idea.
Oh, if you,
his letter.
Folks, if you don't, I'm going to read a letter that disputes everything we said in the last 2 weeks. Of
That's
course,
right.
This letter is wrong because what we teach is truth, and I'm going to show you in this letter. But if you listen to the show and you need some background of what we taught, just go to martinzender.com where the last 2 weeks are archived, and you can hear our teaching as we demystify for you God's plans.
Here's the thing. We're reading this because those who object, I never consider objection somebody against me.
That's true.
It's not against me. I think it's truth versus error. It's not about me. It's about error. It's not about us. It's not about Zender Sheridan.
It's about the teaching.
It's the teaching.
Right.
So if you write against us, well, that's one thing. But when it comes, you know, you call me whatever you want. But if you say anything, you know, it's like the manly way of doing it. You can say anything you want against me. But if you talk about my wife, you and I are stepping outside. You know,
mm-hmm.
You can say anything you want against me. But when it comes to the truth, I will oppose you if you stand up against it. We'll talk about those things. And no animosity toward this person. But we're going to talk about what he said about, well, primarily you, I believe.
Well, it was written to me. But this person it gets a little sarcastic in here, but it begins.
We never get sarcastic.
No, we
never.
We are pure.
We never have sarcasm.
As New York snow. just like Betty Davis. But
anyway.
The letter begins in a nice way. So this person is
dear moron.
No,
oh, no. Sorry.
No, it says, yo, Martin.
Yo, Martin. Good start.
See
I
what
like
I mean?
This.
That's
I like
nice.
Him already.
And you know, I'll give you the ending.
If I ever meet him, I'll buy him a beer.
Okay, that's the ending. Here's the P.S.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip the whole letter just to show you how this letter ends
okay.
to show you that this man is a decent person.
Okay.
I still like your writings. You got a knack.
Nice.
The guy is...
Bill Martin, you got a knack.
The guy is a very... A discerning literary person.
Sure, he is. And either so, that or he's blind and deaf. All right, continue.
All right, this is what he says to us, really. Spoken well by a diehard dispensationalist.
Oh, you dirty dog.
I'm a diehard dispensationalist.
Now, you're reading his letter. He says it's spoken well
yes,
by
spoken
a
spoken well by a diehard dispensationalist, you. And you know, this is, I'm telling you something true. People have called me a universalist. And the first thing I have to do is look it up in the dictionary because I don't know what it is.
Well, you do
Someone
know.
Told me what that you're a Unitarian. I am? Oh, I didn't know that. I better look it up in the dictionary to find out what I am. I don't even know what those words mean. And so I find out, you know, at that time when people used to call me dirty names like a universalist and a dirty name like a Unitarian, I had to find out what they were.
And which you're not.
Because I believe the salvation of all. I believe that God's going to reconcile the world to himself through the cross and that all the universe is going to return to God. But that doesn't make me a universalist any more than realizing.
Far from it.
Well, baptism is a scriptural teaching. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But that doesn't make me a Baptist.
Exactly.
And so believing these things doesn't make you an ist. And so a diehard dispensationalist, we showed you last week that believing in dispensations is no more complicated than believing that God dispenses, gives certain things at certain times.
All right, continue with the letter.
That's it. You and your left behind buddies.
Oh, God.
All making a farce out of Scripture.
Huh. Notice, now, I want you to notice what he did there.
What?
Your left behind buddies.
Automatically puts us in the camp.
Nice way of starting a letter. Yeah, nice.
I don't have any left behind buddies.
I don't
either. If he only knew me, the left behind buddies are the cozy Christian camp that makes a movie. He's referring, obviously, to the movie.
Yeah.
Left Behind. Mm. I never saw it, but I know the gist of it.
I never saw it either.
But you know the gist of it. The church is snatched away.
Yeah.
Are raptured, as they call it.
Yeah.
And total turmoil reigns on the earth. Airplanes are falling out of the sky because 90% of the people on the plane are Christians. Cars are crashing on the interstates.
Yeah.
Buses are careening out of control.
I wouldn't know. I never saw the movie.
And all the churches are vacated.
Okay.
That's the standard left behind
all right.
scenario. I have a problem with that. I believe almost no Christians will be snatched away. Almost no Christians will be snatched
Only
away.
Believers.
Only believers, not Christians. That's right. There's a difference between... Now, I got to ask, so I don't hang around with the people who believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, listen to this. You got to help me here because I don't understand what he's talking about. You and your left-behind buddies all making a farce out of Scripture based on crap from Jesuit priests' writings from the 1800s.
Jesuit priests writing
and
about
the rapture.
And
he names the priest. He names the priest.
I saw
Ribera.
That. You showed me the name. Never heard of him.
Who's Ribera? R-I-B-E-R-A. Yeah.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Well, but whatever it is, we apparently base our entire doctrine on crap from this guy's writings
from the
1800s.
My first response, the crap he's referring to is stuff spoken by the Apostle Paul. Sorry.
No, it's based on crap from this Jesuit priest's writings from the 1800s.
Yeah.
According to him. Of course, you have to support a flying away of the church because you're because your double-minded doctrine of separation of the church and Israel doesn't make the grade. Did you hear that?
Yeah, first of all, he mocks the idea of a snatching away.
He calls it the flying away of the church.
Well, listen,
Did we get that? Where did we get that? From the crazy Jesuit priest?
It's only in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be caught up together with him in clouds, King James Version.
To meet the Lord in the
air. Don't tell me that's a farce. Caught up together with them in clouds. More simple could God make it?
I've had people tell me, I wonder what Paul means by that. And I said, what if he means what he said?
How about he means exactly what he says?
How about that?
He says, after that, your farce about the snatching of... What else does he say?
Because your double-minded doctrine...
Double-minded doctrine about...
Separation of the church and Israel. He says
God separated the church and Israel. We didn't. He says we did this.
Yeah, we have separated the church and mm-hmm. in the church, I think he means by the church, the present-day body of Christ,
okay,
the believers
today. Let me read you a passage of Scripture regarding this separation of the of Israel and the church.
Good,
first
I got
of all,
I got one too.
In Numbers
Go ahead.
Chapter 23, verse 9, from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people, speaking of Israel, shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of the of Israel? God segregated Israel from the nations.
But I think what Bob in Birmingham, I'm sorry, you're not saying
he's going to, and the church is not the nations, and Israel is a nation among nations. And the very last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, God says this, Israel then shall dwell alone in safety. When? In the future. Read the context. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. So Israel shall then dwell alone. Israel is a segregated nation by God. The Jews are they're recognized by their national heritage, by their descent physically from Abraham. The body of Christ is neither Jew nor Greek. It's a new creation. These are scriptural terms. And what this man is doing is saying they're not that they all mean the same thing. A new creation is the same thing. Jew and Gentile is the same thing. He is the confused one. He's the one making the word of God of none effect by his tradition.
He's
That's
saying,
the problem.
He's saying that now Jews and Israelites are the same thing. He will probably agree with you that in that day, back in the scripture you just read in the Old Testament, there was a distinction. And later in this letter, which we're going to have to get to later, he talks about that the fact that today there's neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ, which is true, but he twists this truth. I want to go to a passage also from Romans 11. This is key. Romans 11, verse 2. God does not thrust away his people whom he foreknew. That harkens back to the verse you just read. And then in verse 25 of Romans 11, Paul says, Paul, truth for the present day, I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations. Whoa! Callousness on Israel until the complement of the nations. Apparently, even at this late date, God himself
is distinguishing,
right, between Israel and the nations. And thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Now, in verse 28, as to the evangel, indeed, they are enemy because of you, yet as to choice, they are beloved because of the fathers. You, they. Read Romans 11. It's you, they. God is still recognizing distinctions even after the body of Christ is formed.
That's right. Go ahead. What else?
As we move on here in this epic letter, we're double-minded, we separate. No, God did the separating. The great lie, he called it dispensationalism, the great lie. The great lie, the simplicity of God gave the law way back when, and today he gives grace, and one time he gives human government where it never happened before, and then Adam had the knowledge of good and evil on Wednesday that he didn't have it on
Tuesday.
Let's
turn this back on him. What he is doing is he is turning the truth of God into the lie.
Ooh.
He is doing that by his very statements. He's taking the truth of God and turning it to a lie by saying there's no distinctions. That's the lie. You're saying God is a liar because he doesn't mean what he says and he doesn't say what he means. And this only screws people up doctrinally. And it leads to people believing the wrong thing. And they don't even have a gospel of grace for today if they don't distinguish.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are defending the Word of God. We are defending it against those who would defame it. This truth can be defended against all comers. And we're going to do that this week for your edification. I'm Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow.